جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. My condolences to the wife and the family of our dear friend and brother Haj Muhsin Qanayan. My condolences to the Qanayan family, to the Durudi family, and their friends and their relatives who lost a brother, who lost a friend, who lost a companion after a long suffering. And we ask the Lord, the merciful Lord, the compassionate Lord, that the suffering that Haj Muhsin endured and the pain that he endured, it would be the passport for him to paradise and to God's forgiveness and God's care and God's protection and God's mercy, inshallah ta'ala. And definitely, any person who suffers in this life, and if that person endures and is patient, definitely he will see the reward from the Lord. Any type of suffering, mental, physical, emotional, when we accept that and we take it, though we have to fight it, we have to find a treatment. But if there is no treatment, God says, I want you to come back to me. I want you to return to me. Then if people accept that suffering, definitely it is going to be an impetus for their forgiveness and their mercy with God. Again, condolences to all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, on the departure of a good, noble brother and a friend in our community. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 88, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال موسى ربنا إنك آتيت فرعون وملأه زينة وأموالا في الحياة الدنيا ربنا ليضل عن سبيلك ربنا اطمس على أموالهم واشدد على قلوبهم فلا يؤمنوا حتى يروا العذاب الأليم. موسى عليه السلام was a leader, universal leader, who also endured a lot of suffering and persecution. And God endowed him with a responsibility, maybe the toughest and the most difficult responsibility is to fight tyranny and corruption. That is the toughest responsibility, is to stand up for justice and equality and dignity of the human being. Very tough task. So Musa alayhi salam said to his Lord, Rabbana, our Lord, innaka atayt, You have given Pharaoh and his company and his party, Fir'auna wa mala'ahu. Mala' are the senior people in the administration. They are called mala', the influential people. You have given them zinatan wa amwalan fil hayat ad-dunya. You have given them ornaments and wealth in this life. And this wealth had caused them to be tyrants, to rebel, to practice injustice and corruption. So how do you translate that? How do you interpret that? إِنَّكَ آتَيْتْ. O my Lord, it is you who gave. إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فَرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ. Some people ask, then if God gives him this opportunity and this wealth and this power and influence, then why then he calls him corrupt? So what is the translation here? And Quran is a book of reflection. Quran is a book for meditation, not just reading. When we just read the Quran, we don't enjoy it. But when we meditate and reflect, tadabbur, tafakkur and tadabbur. When we practice reflection, deep reflection, we understand the Quran and we enjoy it. God says, إِنَّكَ آتَيْتْ. God has given him. In what sense? Does he give power to tyrants? Does that mean he's okay with a tyrant to rule with iron fist? No, that's not the point, definitely. God does not like tyrants. He doesn't want them to rule. He does not want them to control. But Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 26 in Surah Al-Imran, which is chapter 3, explains this verse. It says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Say, O God, you are the master of sovereignty in this universe. وَلِلَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Mulk, whether it is property, whether it is government, belongs to God, solely to God. وَلِلَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. You are the master of sovereignty. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Sometimes you give it to those that you will. And sometimes you strip them from mulk. You take it away from them. And sometimes you give dignity to whomever you will. And sometimes you disgrace whomever you will. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. In monotheism, in tawheed, which is the cornerstone of our faith and religion, tawheed, there is an item, there is a dimension, there is a branch. That branch is called tawheed al-mulkiyyah, to believe that God is the sole owner and landlord of this universe. Other landlords are fictitious, they are not real. The real landlord who really owns everything in this universe, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. It belongs to him. Everything in the heaven and the earth belongs to him. The grant deed is in his name. We are not real owners. Even if you purchase the house with your own money and the house is yours, in reality, it's not yours. Why? Because after a few years, you have to vacate this house. They take you out of the house. You can't stay in that house. Even if the house is 100% yours, your property, one day comes that you must leave and vacate this property and go to the real property, which is the grave. So you are not a real owner or landlord. Lord. The only one who is not evicted from his property is God. That's the only owner and the only real landlord in this universe. وَلِلَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. So, mulk and kingdom belongs only to God. Now, how does Moses then says, God, you gave Pharaoh the power. Did he give him the power? No. Moses is trying to say that there is a rule in this universe. This rule has been set by God. The rule says, or states, that if you don't fight for your right, if you do not stand up for justice, if you don't work hard to defend yourself, the result is a tyrant will come and takes over. That is the rule. Not that God loves the tyrant to rule. God does not love any tyrant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. He doesn't love tyrants and corrupts and dictators. He doesn't love them. Neither he aids them. But he says there is a rule in this universe. If you, the humans, you do not work hard, you don't defend yourself, you don't fight for your rights, then a tyrant will come and control. And that is the result of your will, not God's will. This is the result of our laziness, our will. When you don't struggle, a tyrant will take over. Not that because God wants the tyrant to be there. He doesn't like him. He wants him to go. But Allah says, I have a rule in this universe. I'm not going to change it. This rule applies to the Muslims and non-Muslims. Applies to those who worship me and those who do not worship me. Applies to America and applies to the Middle East. And that rule is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. God would not change your circumstances unless you change yourselves first. Unless you decide, I don't like tyranny and I have to give and fight tyranny. I have to work hard. At that time, tyranny is going to remove. But if we don't, if we submit to tyrants, if we accept them, they're going to rule. Not because God wants them to rule, because this is how the universe is designed. This is how the universe is designed. وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Again, there is another fact in the Quran that the reason for influence and power and a glory in this life are two things. Zina. Zina means ornament. Ornament is zina. Wa amwal, and wealth also. These are the sources, main sources of dominance and power and influence and control in this life. And this is right everywhere. If you don't have power, you can't rule. You can't rule anywhere, whether the country is democratic or non-democratic. When you don't have influence and power, you can't rule. Therefore, God also does not want this universe to be governed by influence, by those who are wealthy. No, this is not. God wants the universe to be governed by those who are what? Just. Not necessarily wealth. But God says in this life, again, there are some rules in this that dominates. That if you don't get to the wealth, and wealth is power, you can't rule. If you are poor, if you are incapacitated, if you are weak, then you cannot rule. So you must help yourself. And wealth is needed by both. Anbiya, they needed wealth to be able to rule and to bring about justice. And dictators also, they need wealth to rule and dominate and corrupt. Both of them they need. They need wealth, both of them. Look at the example of our Prophet. When the Prophet did not have wealth, he was poor in Mecca. Only two or three people believed in him. They believed in him because of his heart and his message. They did not look at whether he is wealthy or non-wealthy. But the day the Prophet became wealthy and influential, what does the Quran say about that day? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. People started entering the faith, becoming Muslims in large groups, afwaja. Why? Not necessarily because, not necessarily, listen to this, I'm very meticulous on this. Not necessarily because they found the truth. Some of them may, but the others, they accepted Islam not because they believe Muhammad is a true person, no. Because Muhammad today is powerful. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is influential and powerful today. This is a fact. Not all of them accepted Islam wholeheartedly. Yes, someone like Ali ibn Abi Talib, whether the Prophet is poor or rich or he has followers or he doesn't, he believed in the Prophet. Khadija alayhi salam, she believed in Rasulullah when he was penniless. And she used to spend money on him. Their faith was genuine. And some of the companions too. But others, when Muhammad was alone, nobody greeted him. Nobody said hello to him. Today when Muhammad is powerful and he captures Mecca, they say to him, yes sir, we respect you. This is a fact in this life. Therefore Allah says, if you want to spread Islam and your religion, you have to be wealthy. You have to be wealthy. If you are not wealthy, you are not influential. If you are not wealthy, you are voiceless. Nobody would listen to you. And this is true in every society and in every country, not just America, in every country. If you are not wealthy, people are not going to take care of you. So you have to work harder to build your dunya and to build your akhirah. With poverty, you cannot rule. So Moses is saying to God that our adversary, Pharaoh, he has ornaments, zina, and he has wealth. But rather than using them to help the people, he is using them to destroy his own people. لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ لِيُضِلُّ. So they lead astray from your path. لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. A dictator uses wealth not to build but to destroy. And you can see this example everywhere. Dictators, when they get hold of the wealth of the country, the wealth of the land, they don't use it to bring freedom or dignity or even jobs or economic opportunity for people. They don't. They take 90% of wealth for them, and even this 10% that they're supposed to spend it on the welfare of the people, they spend it on what? Destroying their societies. They destroy their societies with it. While the muslah is the opposite of mufsid. Mufsid is the corrupt. Muslah is the one who builds. He uses the wealth of the nation to build the nation, to strengthen the nation, to bring more dignity to his own people. That's the difference between someone who's honest and someone who's dishonest. They both need wealth. They both need money to work. But one of them uses the money to destroy, while the other uses the money to build. To build his society. And Musa here is stating two facts. He says, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Very interesting. He says, O Lord, Pharaoh and his company, they reached the peak of tyranny and corruption. There is no way back for them. They are not going to learn a lesson. Too late for them. Too late. Too late. Therefore, I want you to, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. O Lord, blot out their wealth and harden their hearts. Two things. Blot out their wealth there are two opinions. How does the wealth is blotted out? Goes away. How? Two opinions. One opinion says that take the value of their wealth. Meaning that they have wealth, but the wealth will depreciate. All of a sudden they wake up the following day, the value of their property, the value of the wealth that they have goes down. And we have seen this in many economies. Within 24 hours, Dow Jones, which I don't know anything about it, alhamdulillah, I only read and listen to the news, it goes down 500 points, if I am correct. Okay, so the wealth loses its value, depreciates. This is one. The other interpretation, that they still have wealth, but they don't enjoy it. Take away the blessing from the money. So still they have the money in their bank accounts. But rather than enjoying themselves, they are suffering more because of the money they suffer. So don't take the money from them. Keep it in their bank accounts. Keep the jewelry. Keep the ornaments. Keep the lands and the properties. But don't let them enjoy it. Take the blessing out of it. And again, you can see this example with many people. Many people. They do have wealth. But a poor person may enjoy this life much more than those people. A poor person. So Musa said, keep the wealth for Pharaoh, but don't let him enjoy his wealth. Don't. The second, washtud ala qulubihim, harden their hearts. Hardening the hearts, what does it mean? We all have something called heart. And the heart, my friends, is the seed of compassion and love and mercy. He's saying, Moses is saying to God, make their hearts merciless rather than being merciful. And we see some people, they have heart, but the heart is dead. The heart is merciless. They have heart, but they are not insan. They are stripped of their insaniya, humanity. They are in the shape of a human, but they don't carry human soul. They don't carry human soul. And if a person does not carry human soul, he or she would not enjoy this life. They will be irritated every second. They would be angry every second, frustrated every day. Because there is some dysfunction with the heart. The heart, which is supposed to be the seat of love and mercy. It turns to be the same heart, the seat of anger and frustration and jealousy and hate. This is why we have to keep the heart clean. We have to maintain the heart. And one of the ways of maintaining heart is to remember God. One of the ways of maintaining the heart is to help the poor and the needy. Makes your heart clean, immaculate, healthy, and powerful too. When you go to a place, a disaster area, and you help people, you help them. You help them physically, you help them with food, you help them with blankets, you help them with shelter, or you help them emotionally. You say some beautiful things, comforting things to them. Your heart is going to be stronger and healthier. Because the heart thrives on wholesomeness and goodness. But when we do bad things, we are hurting the heart. The heart is going to get hurt, and if the heart keeps getting hurt, it would be weakened and weakened until one day the heart dies. The battery dies. And if the heart dies, we are no longer humans. No longer humans. And if we are no longer humans, we can do any crime. We can commit any crime against anyone. Even sometimes our children, our family members, our friends, our neighbors too. Because the heart is dead. Musa said, Ilahi, I don't want you to send an earthquake on Pharaoh, neither a volcano, neither I want the land to swallow him. Just do two things to him. Now you may ask, why Musa himself is so angry? It's not about angry. Musa is stating the facts. Musa is saying, he's trying to say, whoever follows this path of destruction is going to end up with these results. He's not praying against them. He's saying they reached a point where there is no U-turn. They can't go back. Pharaoh killed so many innocents, so many innocent children and women and men. And he was so terrible to his community and his nation, and he treated them as slaves, and he appointed himself as the Lord. So he left no room for his salvation, no room, no U-turn. When he reaches this point, definitely he's not going to enjoy his wealth. His wealth is not going to be the source of mercy for him, neither his heart is going to recover. Neither the heart is going to recover. Rabbana tmis ala amwalihim. Blot out their wealth so they don't enjoy their wealth. Washtud ala qulubihim. Harden their hearts so they have no way to go back to you. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. They do not believe in you until it is too late. And this is exactly what happened to Moses. You know, Moses, he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. But when he was drowning. Fir'aun. He said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He said, now I believe in the Lord of Moses. قَالَ آمَنْتُ بِالَّذِي. I believe in the Lord of Moses. This is the last sentence he said. The same Lord that Moses believes in, but when he was dying, God says to him, too late. Al-ana wa qad asayta min qabl. Now, we've given you 80 years. You radicaled us. You rejected us. You rejected Moses. You attempted to kill him. You kicked him out of the city. You persecuted him. Now you want to come back to me? When you destroyed all the bridges? My friends, we should not destroy the bridges with God. We should leave a route for a U-turn. Don't destroy all the bridges. Leave a room. Even if you drift away from God for some time, even if you don't want to pray for some time, go back to God. Go back. Go back to him. Leave some room to return. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. They would not get a chance because they destroyed the bridges. And if Pharaoh, one day before that, he would go back to God, before he goes into the sea, still God would accept that from him. Still. God would accept his repentance. God is merciful. God is not the God of revenge and hate. God created us to bestow his love and mercy on us, not to punish us. But sometimes we reject. We reject God's mercy. So he left no room for himself. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. And I end with this. In this life, we have two routes. At the end of our life, each and every person has two routes. One route is called حُسْنُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. The other route is called سُوءُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. حُسْنُ الْعَاقِبَةِ means the good ending. سُوءُ الْعَاقِبَةِ means the bad ending. And we have to work hard to prepare for that moment. Moment of departure. We go, we choose the first route, husnul aqib. We have to work hard. Sometimes we think we are working for that moment, but we are not. We are not. Because we are not working for God. When we don't work for God, and we think we are doing good, but it is not for God, for our selfishness, for our own promotion, then we might not end up in حسن العاقبة. We might end up in سوء العاقبة. So we have to work harder and ask Allah that my ending, the last days of my life, I'm on the right path, not the wrong path. Next Thursday, we're going to have students from Chapman University here. And also we're going to have a book signing by Professor Talal Turfi, who has written a book, very beautiful book on supplication, dua. He's going to be here with us. He'll speak after me and he will sign his book. So if you'd love to be here next Thursday, please do so. And this coming Saturday, we're going to have the Arabic session, inshallah, at 7 p.m. And Thursday, March 2nd, we're going to commemorate the martyrdom of our beautiful lady, Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salatu wassalam. Thursday would be in English, and March, that is March 2nd, Thursday, and March 5th, Saturday, is going to be in Fars. Saturday, March 4th, yes, inshallah, March 4th. It's going to be in Farsi, inshallah, at 7 p.m. by our honorable teacher, Dr. Mahdi Taqiyya, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimina wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat, tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat, innaka mujibu al-da'awat, innaka ghafiru al-khati'at, innaka mahi al-sayyat, waja'iluha hasanat. O Allah, make this session tonight, the Quran that has been recited and the Fatiha that has been recited by the Mu'mineen, and that this tafsir of your book and the interpretation of your book, make it inshallah an asset and thawab for the soul, the departed soul of our dear brother and a friend, Hajj Muhsin Qanaiyan. Baraya Shadiya Ruha Ishan, Al Fatiha Ma'as Salati Ala Muhammadin Wa Ali Muhammad.